Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Kenneth Borland.
Tony Keel.
Jonata.
Raph High.
With guest co-host
Derek Kale Paxton.
So, how was everybody's holidays?
Very good.
Very good.
What holidays?
The ones that we took a break from recording on. We, you know, that Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Life Day kind of thing.
What's Kwanzaa? Anyway, I celebrated Christmas. My wife and I went to Vegas. I think we saw...
Woohoo!
Yeah, it was good. Lots of lights. I kept on wondering about the electricity bill out at Vegas. But no gambling, so we didn't win or lose anything. We stayed...
Well, you know, gambling is a tax for people who can't do math.
But we were. I think the most amazing thing was that we weren't seeing much Christmas stuff in Vegas. One tree, one carol, and that was about it.
Well, you know, I mean, Vegas is kind of a place that's not exactly holiday family oriented at times. You know,
yeah, late at night when you're walking down the strip, like they call it the strip for one thing, but you look into the windows and you see people gambling, and then you glance up and you see this lady pole dancing in almost nothing in about 30 degrees heat, and you think, okay, I'm in Vegas.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of Christmas spirit there. I saw a lot of stockings last time I was in Vegas. Sounds about right.
Yeah, but were they over the fireplace or were they...
They were stuffed.
Oh, yeah, they were stuffed, all right. And so, John, you had a good Christmas, I bet.
Oh, yes. Santa beamed in a brand new giant 32-inch widescreen TV.
Woohoo!
And also he beamed in a beautiful music keyboard, too, as well. Along with a few DVD collections like Star Trek Voyager Season 2 and Family Guy Season 2. And he also beamed in Assassin's Creed and Red Alert 3.
Now, wait a second. Now, does your version of Santa pilot a Federation starship?
He must. And I think the reindeer are out there somewhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Except John's Santa uses kangaroos.
That's right, with the big pouches.
And Kale, did you have a great holidays?
I did. I had a good one. It was a nice, quiet holidays. I got to spend time home with my family. And I learned an important lesson in this economy was I needed to buy a new car for my wife and I. Right now, you can walk onto just about any car lot and offer them, you know, whatever you have in your pocket for a car, and you can probably get it. So that was, I had a lot of fun with that one.
What's behind door number one? A new car!
So all the buying power is now with the purchaser, not the seller?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, I went into the big time buyer's market.
Yeah, just before the end of the year, and with the economy where it was, especially car dealerships are getting hit so hard.
Yep.
Yeah. I had a good one. I got about a dozen Star Wars novels, and I got my own force action lightsaber and a little Chewbacca, and I played with my toys for hours and hours.
Is that the Chewbacca with the ammo belt, or does he not have an ammo belt?
Well, it's actually kind of like a, I can't describe it. It doesn't look like a regular Chewbacca toy. He looks like a more, like, really young child-age Chewbacca, like something you could give your two-year-old to chew on, you know? So I chewed on it quite a bit.
Okay.
It was tasty. You know, it tastes like wet fur, but, you know.
And Tony, does your lightsaber make the noises?
Yes, it does. And when you press the button, it shoots out, making that, you know, ignition noise. So. And I took it to the New Year party, because I got it for my birthday. My birthday is New Year's Eve. And I went to the New Year's party with it. I wore my Che Guevara shirts, everyone was calling me a communist Jedi, and I was hitting people with a lightsaber. In fact, I had fun because I would point the lightsaber at someone's nuts, and then I would extend it, and it would shoot out and hit him in the nuts.
That's a little known Obi-Wan secret that he taught Luke.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to Modcast episode 25. We are today joined with John B.T. Oz Archer.
G'day, everyone.
Tim Rough High Pratt.
That's me.
Me, Tony Garrett Zazaka Keel. Hello. With Uber special guest co-host, Derek Kale Paxton.
Hi, guys.
So, yes, we had a good holidays, and we had a nice little break from recording, and I started actually missing it. I'm like, I want to record. This is going to be fun. And now here we are, finally. Unfortunately, today, with 100% less Ken, he did not pay his internet bill, I'm guessing.
And didn't he move back to Arizona as well?
Did he move back?
Yeah. Well, that's what he said in the thread.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm going to go down to Tucson and hit him up and be like, I'm going to knock on his door. Ken!
You're in Arizona, aren't you, Tony?
Let me the f*** in.
Is that Wooter living in fear that someday you're going to do that on his door?
He is. In fact, I think that's why he's incognito right now. He's, like, trying to change his identity. You know, he's hooking up with the Netherlandish mafia.
Well, if some strange man comes to your door and knocks on it, and you open the door, and then he points his unfurled lightsaber at your nuts, aren't you going to slam the door, like, really quick?
especially if they're naked and wearing clogs.
Well, I thought that's what Wouter liked. Today in the Artist Sketchpad, we looked at Industrial Mexican Units by Bernie 14, Silvio Berlusconi by Kruger Pritz, Leaderheads by The Capo, and Jingu by Ekmek.
Well, today in the Modern Spotlight, we've been talking with Kale about his mod Fall From Heaven 2.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community. I have a little bit of artwork today that I thought was great. Now, some of this artwork has been out for a few weeks since we had a break, but it's new to us, so we have some great artists on this Artist Sketchpad segment. And the first one I wanted to talk about was by our good friend Birdie14, and he is making some units for the industrial Mexican Civ, which there's no Mexican Civ, but the Alamo kind of times when they had, you know, the big wars with a certain huge country. And they look pretty good. Are you guys seeing these guys in here?
Yeah, they're sort of the Mexican soldiers that you would see in a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah. Dying by the droves. But he's got a, I guess that's a rifleman, and they've got a little feather with the Mexican colors, which is awesome, and they got the little the goatee, and great texture work, and then he's even got a cannon, which he didn't make clone troopers. These guys have different uniforms, and also a rifleman or a curiosity. I don't know how to say that word, but one of those.
I was glad to see that he didn't do the clone troopers. It's always a pet peeve of mine is somebody make a whole series of units for a civilization and they all look identical. Because it's actually more important that you as a player can distinguish between your units. You know, hey, that guy's a swordsman and this guy's a rifleman, more than just whatever weapon they're carrying. Because if you mess that up, it's a big deal for you. That's more important than actually being able to tell the difference between your units and enemy units. So when you start to take all your units and make them all look alike, it becomes hard for the player to see what's going on. But these are nice.
Am I attacking with an axeman or a spearman? And it's a totally different outcome if you attack with an axeman when you think you're attacking with a spearman.
Absolutely. Yeah, you shouldn't have to focus in on the unit and look at that weapon or go over and read the description to see what he is to be able to do those kind of choices.
Yeah, exactly. And these guys, the cannon and the rifleman are a little similar, but not really. I mean, there's big differences, and and I think that reflects the way real-world militaries were. Each job in the military would have a different prestige, especially back in the olden days when, you know, there was still a bit more honor. Each job would have its own uniform, its own pride, you know?
There's some really good pictures. If you scroll down to, let me pull it up, scroll down to post 14, there's some pictures that Capo has posted. He's obviously modded the game because he's now got units that can run around on water. But besides that, he's got different hats. He's got a grenadier with a very flat type of hat. It looks very distinctive. And he's also got ancient weapons there. He's got what it looks like, what's the swordsman replacement for the Aztec?
It's the Jaguar, right? Yeah, Jaguar.
But he's got the Jaguar with a weapon that is very useful. See, it's on one of the pictures, and it's a curved weapon with a hook on the end. It's like a sword, and it's very useful for removing the shield for your opponent. You would hack them sideways, and that hook at the end of the blade would catch the shield, which you could rip out of their hands, and then reverse your stroke and take out their guts. It's a very useful weapon.
When did you become a medieval warrior?
I watch a lot of TV.
That's my hobby. I like to kill people as my hobby. You guys know I'm crazy like that.
Have you watched... There's a movie that came out last Christmas. Two guys got involved with prison. They had to do some community service.
Role models.
Kids, and there was some make-believe... Role models. Yeah, Tony, you have to see that. You will appreciate it.
It is a great, great movie.
Sweet. Okay, what else do we got today in my goodie bag of artwork? Something by our good buddy, Kruger Pritz, and he has done a dude named Silvio Berlusconi. Is that how you say that, Berlusconi? Berlusconi? Okay, I don't know. I'm not, you know how freaking illiterate I am. But check this guy out. He looks kind of creepy, but I imagine that's how he really looks in real life. Probably creepy, you know. He's got, it looks like a face peel. Does that look like a face peel?
Yeah, he looks a little strange to me. I just picture him as, like, a leader in a Mars attack scenario, and his face would, like, open up, and there'd be, like, a little alien in there riding it. That's what it looks like to me.
Well, it looks like the textures look really nice because he did the face peel, got the bags of the shoulders under the eyes and stuff. But it also seems that his ears are made of solid gold. Is that exactly it?
Yep.
But, you know, maybe that's an Italian thing. You know, our leader of our civ has solid gold ears. It's like a saying.
That's good. Yeah, his hair looks like it's a little bit not natural either.
Well,
but his face itself looks really nice.
Yeah, his face looks awesome. The thing about the ears, we're teasing him, but I've been through the same hell. I'm sure you've seen my Obama, whose ears are a little off color. The reason for that is when you do a face peel, the shading is going to be reflective of whatever photograph you take. But the ears, there's only one skin for the ears. So if you've got a light source that's a little to the side, then your ears will look off on one side. And it's because, yeah, as I said, there's two models for the ears on each side of the head, but there's only one skin if you look into the DDS files for a leader head. It's weird, and it's one of the downsides of a face peel, to be quite honest.
That's okay with Obama, though, because every real photograph I see of Obama, I always think, did somebody Photoshop those ears on? What's going on?
He's got some big ones. Well, actually, I pulled his ears out for that model of him. I stretched him out. I gave him a nice pointy jaw, too.
All the better to hear you with.
Yeah. This is a great job. I think that it needs a little bit more polishing, and the ears, you can fix that with some color swishing techniques. It's not easy, but it can be done. I don't know, is this going to find a home anywhere? Did he make this for someone specifically? Let's see. I don't know. I don't know if he
Wow, I just noticed that this is his first model that he's made. That's a really good job for a first try, too. It's an amazing job.
Oh, that's his first model? He made that from scratch? Wow. Wow. That is really good. Well, I noticed a lot of modelers have trouble with textures, and a lot of texture guys have trouble with models. So. And good job, Kruger Pitts. Sorry we teased you so much. And we've got another one in my goodie bag.
This is Capo again. You're looking at Capo's Leaderhead Gallery and Self-Help thread. Is that the one we're looking at?
I like the Pharaoh one where the guy's playing with pulling his own beard off.
Is he doing that or is he cracking his knuckles?
Well, that's what it looks like.
He looks pretty aggressive.
Yeah, it does look like he's kind of, you know, tugging on his beard. Like he's got both hands on it, you know?
Trying to rip it off.
Where? Okay.
Looks like Tony may have just hit him in the nuts with his lightsaber is what he's looking like.
Yeah. A couple of these guys have that face. Look at Gustav. He's kind of like...
Gustav looks like he might have enjoyed it.
Oh, that's so wrong. That's so wrong. Just kick me in the junk. Just do it. Just kick me in the junk. Oh, man.
And then they make me wear this frilly collar. I can't believe it.
No, he wore that voluntarily. We've got some, what these look like, model edits, and they look like reskins. We've got Charles V, which I don't know if that's for colonization or not. I think, isn't Charles the English, or is he French?
Charles V has to be, I would think French, but I'd be totally wrong, probably.
Yeah, well, we'd have to have Water here. He's the one who knows all this weird European crap. we got Gustav Adolf, which looks like... doesn't that look like one out of colonization a little bit?
Yeah, I think Charles came out of colonization, too.
Ah. And then there's this one guy who's just Pharaoh. He's not any particular Pharaoh, and he doesn't like his beard. He's trying to yank it off. And then we got Richelieu. Is that how you say that?
Richelieu.
And he is one ugly dude. And then last but not least, we have good old Solomon, you know, the guy who, like, is he the guy who cuts babies in half?
Solomon?
Yeah.
He's the guy that threatens to cut babies in half to reveal the fake mother.
Well, you know, I'm sure, you know, he had to start somewhere. He probably, you know, the first time he did the whole cut the baby in half, he actually said, cut the baby now! You know, and then it didn't work out.
I think you'll find it was actually a thought experiment. He didn't actually do it.
Well, you know, but that's the one that got recorded. I mean, if he cut a baby in half, he'd be embarrassed. You know, he wouldn't add that to the history books. He's like, we got an overzealous swordsman here. You know, sorry about that, ladies. You know,
have you seen this thread? We're talking about the Leaderhead thread, and it's over 10 pages long. It started on November 27th last year. What are these guys doing?
Wow,
they're spamming the thread.
Really? Are they really spammers?
No. They're talking about a whole lot of other stuff, but basically you know, a 200-post thread talking about leaderheads and graphics and all that type of stuff.
Hey, I know about that. I had about a 1,000-post Obama thread, just Obama.
Mm.
Yeah, so, and that that eventually got put down.
In off-topic.
No, it just got shut. I even begged to have it open, and it is closed. We went off. Yeah, and it was the biggest thread I think I've ever had was the Obama thread. This is these are great artworks. I actually especially like the Pharaoh and the Solomon. I think those ones look awesome.
What's really cool, one of the reasons this thread went on so long is you look in the third post and click that spoiler button. He actually goes into Niscope and shows how he did a lot of it. It's really cool stuff. Yeah.
Oh, he's showing the methodology. I see he's doing the C. Roland Niscope rebone technique to reanimate custom models.
So definitely worth checking out if anybody wants to make leaderheads.
Yeah, it looks a little different than the other method.
You can also tell he's running Vista as well. Brave boy.
Oh, my goodness, he is. He is. And speaking of Vista, has anyone tried the Windows 7 yet?
I've really good things about it. I stayed off Vista completely, but I'm hearing lots of good reports.
Yeah, well, I downloaded it. It's free to download. I don't know if that's over yet, but I downloaded the beta. I loved it. It was snappy and fast, but Microsoft, if you're listening, I hate your bootloader. I hate your bootloader. You go to hell.
Tony,
you go to hell, you die.
Do you really think that Microsoft is listening?
I think that they have bugs in my apartment. So it's called my computer.
I thought everybody listened to Modcast. That's what Tony said when he had invited me on.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah, so Monday morning news flash on Microsoft. Tony mentioned us in podcast.
Oh, you know, I might make an appearance on the news. I'll have to see my schedule, but I'll let Bill, me and Billy go back a while.
Tony, what browser do you use?
I use Firefox, and now I've just damned myself. But
oops, yeah. Well, I'm on Firefox as well.
Well, it's not because you know, any hatred towards Microsoft. It's just that Internet Explorer sucks. I mean, guys, it's obvious. Look at your program. I bet they use Firefox when the cameras aren't pointed at them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I use Chrome. I was just wondering with your Windows 7 if you were able to. I heard that the browsers, unless you're using IE, the other browsers wouldn't work.
Oh no, not at all. I installed Firefox 3.001. And it worked like a charm, and the plugins went in. Everything was fine. And with Windows 7, a lot of Vista drivers are compatible. So it wasn't too bad. The only thing I hated about it was the bootloader. And I'm trying to get Ubuntu on here. I'm trying to get my legacy, because, you know, even though I've got Windows 7, I don't, you know, use it. I just use it to beta. But I just had a, you know, they got rid of the boot INI file with Vista and Windows 7, so it was just a big mess. Their bootloader is specifically designed to kind of take a shit on the older versions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no. that was pretty off topic right there, but that's what we do. That's what we do. And in my goodie bag, I have one last piece of artwork for this week, and I think this one is just groovy. There's no thread that I can see.
Well, there's a link, but it wouldn't come up for me.
Oh, the library. This is by our good buddy Ekmek, and he seems to have made a Japanese empress, I'm assuming, or a samurai. Yeah.
Yeah, with a samurai sword.
Yeah, she's pretty cool, and
He provided a wiki link for you as well.
Oh, so we can figure out who the heck she is?
Yep.
Yeah, because, you know, Japan's had a few female empresses, and few and far between.
She ruled Japan from 209 until her son ascended to the throne in 269.
Wow.
So 60 years.
Holy crap, let's see, there you go. That's just like marriage, you know? yeah, but she looks cool. Looks like she's I don't know if this is a custom animation. Does this look like a custom animation to you guys? Because it does to me.
A little.
Is there any leader heads that kind of wield a sword at all, or, you know, mess with a sword at all? I don't know.
It looks original to me, and I love that background that he used on it. It really sets the atmosphere. The storm clouds in the background look really neat.
Oh, isn't that Mount Fuji behind her, too? Storm clouds over Fuji?
It's got the image of Mount Fuji. It's got a feel for Mount Fuji, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not necessarily yet.
There's a link in Ekmek in that post that you linked that goes to Ekmek's leaderhead gallery, and there is some amazing stuff in there, including a leaderhead for Cobra Commander.
I know. I love that shit, man. G.I. Joe.
He has a young and an old pope. Oh, this is great.
Who's what was the one you commanded? The commander? Cobra Commander? What is
Cobra that? Commander. There used to be a cartoon on and a bunch of toys called G.I. Joe, and Cobra Commander was in that cartoon.
Okay.
It was this really cheesy, classical bad guy who just wanted to do bad things because that's what you did when you're a bad guy.
And you know what?
I obviously haven't watched enough TV.
And you know what? My good friend, Tim, knowing is half the battle.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I mean, we could spend hours looking over his leaderhead gallery. We haven't covered, you know, nearly all of these. I don't know how he slips these in without me noticing. But, yeah, Ekmek is a busy, busy, busy mofo, and he's excellent artist. All of these look...
scroll down and have a look at Putin.
Yeah,
Putin. Let's see. Where are you, my Putin? Yeah, there he is. That looks just like, he's ugly too. He's got an ugly face. Ugly face. But Ekbeck, I just don't know how you do it. You are just prolific, and you are amazing artist.
These are excellent. These are so excellent.
Have we had Ekbeck on before?
Pass.
Yeah, well, I would ask Ken that, but Ken, of course, didn't pay his cable bill. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I'm not going to go into these leaderheads because we've covered some of them, and we'll cover some later. I just want to focus on that one file, but wow.
Just one thing. I want to just say one thing. My take on Ekmek has gone through the roof. He's got curtain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's his newest one.
An Australian Prime Minister.
Wow.
So, cool.
But, hey, Ekmek, remind me if you've been on the show or not, because I don't remember. It's been a year, so.
Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community.
So, Kale, a long, long journey we've had.
So what have you been working on lately?
Oh, you know, little of this, little of that.
This and that, yeah?
Yeah, we completed Fall from Heaven. We put the last version out, the final version out on December 16th. So that has all of the features that we originally wrote down in our design document 3 years ago. So it's feature complete. Now we're going through the process of putting out patches to fix any bugs that come up, as well as some tuning on things like documentation and the AI, things that weren't possible, that we couldn't do when the mod was going through huge revisions. But now that we got it stable, we can look at how much the technology costs and balancing those out, looking at teaching the AI how to use some of the specific features in the mod and that kind of stuff.
And the teaching of the AI, that's all in the DLL? Or is it a mixture of the DLL and the XML?
90% of it happens in C++, so in the DLL.
Okay.
There is some little waiting and things that you can do in XML, so it's nice for people that don't want to get into source code access that they can teach the AI how to, you know, like this unit more than that unit. Those are all XML values. But for what we're doing right now, for teaching the AI how to use spells effectively, teaching it how to wage war with the new features that we've added, that's all DLL work.
So all the strategy elements.
Yeah, exactly. We had a problem with Civilization 4 has what's called strategy hash, which it every turn all the AI players look at what, you know, buildings and units and such that they have and their placement in the map, and they try to figure out which overall strategies they can use, because it's called the hash, and they apply a bunch of qualifiers, and they say, oh, yep, I can do this one, and they put it up in their list, and they look through another one, apply all the qualifiers, and say, or I can do this one, and then at the end they make the call. Well,
mm-hmm. Of which one has a higher value. Like, I think Ken told us about that.
I think Ken was talking about building a building in a city, but I think the concept...
Yeah, so you do have it, if it has to pick between options, but the strategy has is just to say, hey, these things are all valid for me. The problem with Fall from Heaven was... Some of those strategy hashes, like one of them is the blitz strategy. Should I take all my hive movement units and just rush into my opponent's lands with them and forget about waiting for my slow one plot a turn units to catch up? So it's called a blitz strategy. Well, in order for the Civilization 4 AI engine to consider a blitz, it has to have anti-aircraft use with it, because it doesn't want to rush a bunch of mobile units into enemy lands and then just get decimated by aircraft. Well, Fall from Heaven doesn't have any aircraft, so it would never, ever try to blitz into opponent's lands. So we went through that strategy hash and rewrote the whole thing for Fall from Heaven features, and a lot of the AI functionality from just a waging war perspective got a lot better because of it.
Sweet! That's a lot of freaking man hours. I mean, how many man hours do you think have gone into this game collectively with all your team and you?
Well,
just say a number.
6.5.
I said 15 to 20 per week for me for 3 years on average, and that doesn't count the team who does a lot of work too, but the biggest thing is we have released, I wish I knew what the actual number was, but I bet it's between 150 and 200 versions of Fall from Heaven over those 3 years. We release every 6 to 8 weeks. We put out everything we're working on so the community can play with it and give us feedback, and there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of hours of a quarter of a million downloads that Fall from Heaven have of people playing it and then coming out to the forum and posting and saying, yeah, I like this, I don't like that. So all that playtest feedback's been invaluable and really helped make the mod better.
Yeah,
I've been following some succession games of Fall from Heaven, and that was one of the things that the players would talk about, like, which patch are you on? Oh, N or F or X, and there's all these patches flying around, and it was very hard for the players to get centralized on the same game patch.
Yeah, that's kind of good and kind of bad. We are at patch N right now. We released December 16th, so it's been about 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks since when we're doing this modcast, and we're already up to O, so from A to O, you know. So we're putting out a patch every 2 to 3 days to address issues or to fix little things, so it's kind of nice, but means that players do have to watch the forum and get the latest patch if they want to be playing multiplayer games.
Let me ask you another question. Where do you see Fall from Heaven now that it's finished? Are you going to upload a final version with no patch and call it quits, or just, you know, play test beta, you know, have people play test it for a bit and maybe patch it a few times, and then what happens then?
Well, since we're up to this O patch, I mean, we've obviously, you know, patched it, you know, I don't know what O is in the alphabet, but 17, 18 times already. My thought is we'll continue to do this through the next year.
Sweet.
So I'm not stepping away from Fall from Heaven. We are not dropping support by any means. I want to really spend the time perfecting it. I don't think I'm going to be spending 15 to 20 hours on it per week. It'll become more of a, you know, reasonable kind of hobby project, just checking in, seeing if there's bugs, fixing those bugs kind of stuff. But no, I don't see that I'm just going to say, I don't have any plans to just say, this is it, I'm done, and walking away.
But it might be a great opportunity for you to start another mod, you know, a smaller mod, you know. Yeah, smaller for sure. You know?
Yeah, the team and I have talked about, you know, what do we do next. I don't know that I'm going to start a Civ 4 mod at this point. I feel like we did that, we made the game we wanted to make. But certainly, you know, there may be another game that pops up, or maybe Civ 5. Hopefully it has the same modding capabilities that Civ 4 does, and we'll work there. We've gotten offers to create a collectible card game based on the Fall from Heaven universe, and somebody's offered to front all the costs. If we wanted to make a Fall from Heaven board game, they would handle the art and produce all the materials, and we would just submit the design for it, and then they'd give us a portion of the revenue. So those are all interesting options. I don't know that we're going to follow up with any of them, but we're thinking about it now.
Well, this is what I think you should do is start a company, Kale. Start a company and make games, make Fall from Heaven a standalone game where every feature would be exactly as you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot of things that we get away with in Fall from Heaven that you would never be able to do if it were a real game. Not real. If it were a professional game.
You mean because it's free?
Well, yes. Yeah, absolutely. So we can do things like expect it to be incredibly complex because we're piggybacking on the Civilization IV learning curve, and we can therefore you know, expect that anybody who plays Fall from Heaven already has a pretty significant wealth of knowledge about how the game works, and then we add our frosting on top of that. If we were starting our own professional game from the ground up, we would never be able to go into the kind of depth that we can go in Fall from Heaven. And then you have things like art assets that we've gotten off internet sites and various artists that if we were charging for the game, you know, we wouldn't be able to do. The game wouldn't look as pretty as Fall from Heaven does.
You'd have to be doling out some pennies.
So do you have a Fall from Heaven tutorial, like Civ 4 has a tutorial?
We don't. So that's one of our follow-up tasks that we're going to work on, AI and documentation. And we've been trying to think about what a good way to do the tutorial would be. We want to get some YouTube videos out there to just kind of show what the game is and hopefully draw some interest in, but would also show and kind of feature various mechanics in the game, as well as getting the documentation better, because that's a bit of a handicap for new players coming in. We do have a set of scenarios that were released with the final version of Fall from Heaven, and two of those scenarios in particular are for new players that aren't very familiar with the way Fall from Heaven works, one of which is around capturing animals, which is a big hunting and gathering animals is a big mechanic in Fall from Heaven, so it kind of walks the player through doing that. And another one is a dungeon adventure where the player just controls one sorcerer, and he has to successfully gather and cast the right spells to get through the various obstacles in the dungeon, and that kind of teaches him how to use magic in the game.
Sort of like a first-person shooter.
Yeah, or if you're used to like Final Fantasy Tactics or any of the games like that, it plays out very much the same.
Okay. I mean, one thing that really blew me away with all of this is you've got, what, 21, 22 Civs in it. Where did all the material to support all these civilizations came from? I initially looked at it and I thought you've just gone through and looked at websites and picked a few things up from there to put that all together.
I ran a D&D campaign over, well, actually multiple D&D campaigns over about 17-year time period, and over the process of running those campaigns, I slowly began to build my own mythology and world history, And, you know, there's probably 8 to 10 different campaigns, and none of them matched each other. So there's no consistency. But then when I went to build Fall from Heaven, I looked back at all of that mythology that I built out over those 17 years and used that as kind of the starting place for what we wanted to have in Fall from Heaven. And if there was something in those D&D games that made sense, we pulled it into Fall from Heaven. And if there was something that would not that was in the D&D games that we didn't like for Fall from Heaven, we excluded it. So we don't have any desire to try to recreate the D&D games, but we...
So you were the Dungeon Master, the DM for those games, and it sounds like a lot of these ideas were just drawn out of your own memory or your own imagination over a number of years.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that isn't to say that I wasn't influenced by a lot of different sources, like Lovecraft and Edgar Allan Poe are strong ones for Fall from Heaven. We go back to them a lot. So, you know, I was a teenage kid up till, you know, my late 20s, and anything that I was reading at the time got put into the D&D game and that kind of stuff.
So, I think, you know what would be really cool? I mean, I know you've got the strategy down in this mod. You've got this awesome, huge turn-based strategy game based off Civ. But what if you started a new game, and I'm talking about a store game, like you're going to sell it, but instead of making it a strategy, you make it some kind of awesome RPG, like third or first person or something, and you basically have a universe that's based on the Civs and stuff from this game, so there'll be a country, and you'll go there, and it will have that kind of persona from the original mod. I think it would be immensely popular. You could call Fall from Heaven.
I have a list of game ideas on a document on my hard drive, and one of them is similar to that. It's a tactics-based role-playing game, and I actually contacted Gamebryo, which is the people that make the graphics engine for Civ 4, and they've sent me their engine so that I can model and create a game on top of it so I can use all Cesare's awesome models that he created. I haven't played with it that much. It's just concept stage right now, so that would be interesting to do. I have another game which is called Without Eyes, which doesn't have any keyboard. You don't need the keyboard to play it, and you don't need a monitor to play it. And the point of the game is that you are blind. You're a blind detective, and everything about the game is played through your headphones, through the speakers, everything you hear in the world, and all your commands are issued through voice recognition. So I thought, man, that would be such a cool game to be able to shut out the lights in your office and just be sitting there in the dark, close your eyes, and just listen to this horror-based, scary game that you're trying to work your way through voice commands and stuff. I thought it'd be fun. Kind of weird, but...
That's totally awesome.
That's very original.
I'm on the train into work in the morning, and I'm yelling into my microphone. Go left, go left, go left.
And you got those Ray Charles glasses on. You know what I'm saying?
That would be totally awesome. I know a lot of people who commute that. I mean, I listen to podcasts while I commute. But if you had some sort of game like that, you would have a captive audience in all the people that commute in and out of their offices.
Yeah, it'd be a good game for, they could even go on to handheld game systems. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it could be a cell phone game, even better. So everybody could just download and play it off their cell phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll just delete all this out of the feed so no one steals your idea.
No, I'd love to play it.
I'm assuming you've copyrighted all of this.
Just say copyright. Sure,
copyright.
Sure.
Copyright Kale here. As
copyright.
Her podcast.
If you take my idea, I will stab your foot. But, wow. It's just been, the Fall from Heaven has gone from, remember that first magazine article we got into a long time ago? When we've heard just you, me, and Dale, and, you know, some other guys who aren't around anymore, but we started modding way, way, way back when, and it's just, look at where it's gone from then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm amazed. I started making it just by myself. The first version came out 6 weeks after Civ War released, and it was just a mod that I thought, boy, you know what, here's a little game that I kind of want to tinker with and I'd like to play. And I wanted to teach myself how to program, which is why I started the mod in the first place. And I put it out on Civ Fanatics, and I've been amazed. We're up to 250,000 downloads right now from Civ Fanatics. It's been released in 4 or 5 different CDs that get put on with game magazines when they go out. It's been on the DVD that they release with. And I've been amazed at the team that I've gotten to make all the cool art and all the fans that have played it and all the feedback they've given.
Have you still got that first game that you released?
Yep, absolutely.
It'd be amazing to go back and play that and go, wow, this is where it all started.
Well, I always like to say that the first version of Fall of Heaven 1 was kind of my ideas and the game I wanted. And then when we started Fall from Heaven 2, by that point we had a team, there was about 12 of us, and they came up with such better ideas than I did. So Fall from Heaven 2 is very much a team effort, and all the great stuff you see in it comes from a lot of different people.
Hey, Kale, give me a plug with your coder guys, because I want to eventually finish my doggone mod. It's been on standstill for about a year now. Well, about as long as I've been on Modcast. Help me with the revolution.
Well, the best advice I can give you is do exactly what I did, which is start teaching yourself how to program. I didn't know any C++. I didn't even know what Python was except for a large snake when I started. And your best bet's going to be slowly start figuring out the things you know how to do, and the rest of the stuff will come.
Well, I'll tell you what's convenient is in a week or two, I'm starting a class of Computer Sciences 101. So that's going to be C++. So.
And you already got the art side, which is something I've never been able to do. So you get the programming side down, you'll be set.
So all I have left, I got all the artwork done, 99% of the artwork done. I have to do, that's unit art. I have to do buttons. I have to do more interface artwork. Bad kitty.
If you want buttons done, talk to Nick Nex. He just seems to love doing buttons.
Oh, good idea. And I also have to populate the map, but what actually happened with my mod is I had a bad data crash, and that took all my verve, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to recover from.
Yeah,
that.
I almost cried.
The reason I always suggest that modders learn to program is even if you get a programmer to come along and help you out and build some really cool stuff for you, 4 months down the road, he's going to be off doing something else. And you'll have a crash in your mod that's making all your players mad. And unless you know how to program, unless you really understand everything that he did, you're stuck. You're going to lose all the effort that you put into it.
Well, actually, I'm intending on doing zero DLL changes in my mod. I just know that I need someone to bug test it because it's going to crash. I hear most of the guys who check out my mod, the alpha version, it's crashed at various points. And As I said, I don't know how to do a crash report other than, find a report and send it to someone who's smarter than me. But, I plan on not doing any DLL changes. Instead, I'm planning on doing event hacks.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use the event system to emulate some DLL changes that I want to implement. So, that's my goal.
I have a thread out on Civ Fanatics about troubleshooting crashes, specifically for troubleshooting crashes, that doesn't go into how to thread the DLL for it. It talks about the big hammer and the little hammer and how to isolate out without the in-depth code-level tools to figure out what's causing your crash. So it may be worth checking out for you.
Oh, yeah. Send me that link, please. But, But anyways, Kale, we're happy for you. You have so many fans. Your project has turned from, one of the first mods that came out and had probably a reskin, a unit here and there, just the very most basic structure. Now it's this huge, graphically impressive game. And some of your guys have done some of the best models for the best models in the entire community, to be quite honest. And
I would put them up against Firaxis model development, too. So some of the units are that good.
Yeah, well, I hate to say it, but you guys easily trump Firaxis because they have low resolution, low poly units. They were doing what they wanted to do but you were able to, see Roland, oh my God. And Cesar and see Roland, they are just the two greats. And you've got them, you know what I mean?
Yep. The nice thing about having a mod that has this many downloads and this much attention is I kind of got to cherry pick the talent. I feel a little bad to the other mods because I know, I pull in somebody like Cesareth and he works a lot on Fall from Heaven. That means the other mods don't get to use him. But guys like that are just incredible and they make a huge difference on the mod.
Well, now they're going to be open for submissions, I hope, unless they're they're tired of modeling Civ by now. Who knows?
No, don't tell them that. We still got art that needs to be done that's going to be included in patches. So.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So don't let the word out that they're free for other ones.
All right, well, you email me, and you tell me when they're free, when their shackles have been broken.
I've seen your work. You don't need them.
Oh, I know. Thank you. You flatter me, my friend, but there's so many mods out there that need love right now. I'd love to see a Star Trek mod get really polished, and of course, the ubiquitous never-finished Star Wars mod. Has there ever been a Star Wars mod that got finished?
Not that I know of. It's hard to do.
And it's hard to even conceptualize that kind of mod.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem with when you build a mod based on a known IP, is that it's a good starting point. You can rush out real quick and throw a couple songs in there from the IP, be it Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever. You can throw a couple songs in there, name a couple units like what you want them to be, but you haven't done any game design yet. Not really.
And you hit that wall in artwork.
What's that?
You hit that wall in artwork.
Yeah. Well, you can make Wookiees and Jedis and all that stuff, but unless you have a solid gameplay design, unless you've given a reason as to what this mod is, outside of all the flavor that you've attached to it, but what is this game and why is it fun and why do people want to play it? The answer is, well, because it has Star Wars characters in it. Well, that's probably not enough.
That's not enough. Well, Kale, I'm so happy you came on today. And I know your fans are going to be happy to hear what you had to say. All I say is Godspeed, my friend. Get this, get your final patches out and, start preparing for Civ 5 whenever the heck that comes out, which I'm not telling, I don't know when it comes out, but it'd be awesome.
I had one last question.
Go ahead.
I'm part of the bug team, and we had someone turn up from Fall from Heaven asking us questions about bug and Fall from Heaven, because I think they were trying to fold our bug mod into Fall from Heaven. Did you know where that ended up?
Yeah, they did. They made it, and a lot of people played it. We have a mod for Fall from Heaven that's called Fall Further.
Yeah, we covered that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Theon Wolf was on, Jacob was on. They're a great team. They do a lot of cool stuff. But one of the things that they did was they integrated Bug right into Fall Further. And it's probably the biggest version. It's definitely the biggest mod for Fall from Heaven that's downloaded. So everybody that downloads that is getting
Bug. Sweet! All right. Thanks, Kale. And I hope that whatever projects you move to eventually, you bring them to us.
Calling today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at polycast@polyton.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast or our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolyton.net.
So, at that note, we've had a lot of fun. Maybe possibly too much fun. I mean, if it was too much fun, I think my fun meter would be ringing off right now, but it's not. It might be broken.
I think we've had an elegant sufficiency of fun.
Ah, yes. And, that reminds me, the Modcast is officially a year old, is technically a year old now that we're episode 25. We took, 4 weeks off. We are now at a year. The Modcast is at a year. We have about 17 listeners.
What? You lied to me before?
I never lie. I just don't tell the truth.
He said about 20.
Well, three of them got ran over, so didn't really lie. I was honoring, the dead people who listen to this show. They listen to it in the afterlife now. We are at our year. I'm amazed that we actually made it this far, so... Yay!
Congratulations. I'm looking forward to more episodes. It's always the first thing I listen to when I see it comes down on my iPod, and I've signed up for the iTunes to get it through there, and if it's on there, that's the first thing you listen to.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Okay. How many people actually believe
it's
that?
It's true.
So much fun. Today we have been joined with Tim Ruffhigh Pratt.
I'm out of here.
And John B.T. Oz Archer.
See you later, everyone.
Me, Tony Garrett-Zakakiel, goodbye. With Uber special guest co-host Derek Kale Paxton. Woo! Big Mod.
Thanks, guys. It's been fun.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Kale.
We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
See ya.
Record date,
January 11, 2009.
Sound clips copyright Civilization 4 and the Warlords of Beyond the Sword expansion packs.
Copyright 2009, Appalachian Civilization site at appalachian.net.